Hey, welcome to the Happy Ramp Podcast. I am Ted Kluck, joined, as always, in studio by my good friends, my partners in radio, my partners in Zoom television pilots, Barnabas Piper and Ronald J. Martin. Boys, we got lots to talk about. We got a little quarantine best practices episode on tap. But before we get to that, one of the things that we like to practice is doing business and making money with this podcast. I dare say that's our favorite best practice here at the Happy Rant. So, Piper, why don't you tell us about our new business partnerships?
Yeah, our new business partnership for the next several episodes is the Gospel Project. So, first of all, they deserve a big thank you from us because they were going to sponsor the live Happy Rant recording live at Midtown. And when we were forced to cancel that because the world has been canceled, they did not cancel their sponsorship with us. So thanks to Aaron Armstrong and the others at Lifeway and the Gospel Project for sticking with us through these trying times. You guys are the best.
They're the real heroes, Piper.
Yeah,
aren't they?
Aaron, you're the real MVP. Let's not bury the lead on this. They are offering a free ebook to all Happy Rant listeners. You can also share this online if you'd like, because I'm sure they'd like to give away a ton. If you go to gospelproject.com/happyrant, you can see all the details. It's an ebook called The Church is a Family, and it is written by Aaron, who's a very good writer. I used to co-host a podcast with him. He's a good friend. And then Chris Surratt, who's another friend from Lifeway. Both of those guys have been... they are writers. They've been in church leadership. So this is a free ebook for all of you listeners. Gospelproject.com/happyrant. At the Gospel Project, you can also check out all of the other details about the curriculum that the Gospel Project is. So they have kids curriculum, students curriculum, adult small group, and Sunday school curriculum. Kind of depending if you want to do a long term thing or shorter term studies. The basic idea is this is a study of the entire sort of redemptive historical arc of Scripture, so the narrative of Scripture pointing towards Jesus that you go through systematically over time. So we use it with the kids ministry at our church. Ronnie, do you guys use it with kids at your church too?
We do, and it's epic, and we love it. The kids love it. I mean, I couldn't say enough great things about it, for
sure. So stuff is the stuff I'm most familiar with. Our children's ministers love it. They have all sorts of other resources for parents as well. So again, go to gospelproject.com, check that out. Go to gospelproject.com/happyrant, get your free ebook. You will not be disappointed. Our other sponsor is Dwell, who you've heard about, but they have a unique, cool offer during this time that I want to highlight. So you've heard me talk about how great the app is as an audio Bible app, but they are offering 60 days free to churches. So the whole church can get 60 days of free access if somebody from the staff reaches out to them to get it set up. So if you are on staff at a church, you're an elder at a church, if you're a lead pastor, children's minister, whatever, if you email COVID19@dwellapp.io, COVID19@dwellapp.io, they will set your whole church up with access to Dwell for 60 days. Now, hopefully that by the end of that 60 days, we are no longer dealing with COVID-19. We don't know. But that's a pretty great deal because they've been running a pretty sweet discount with us for several months now. But to get the whole church on there for free is pretty great, especially as people are just sort of out of rhythm. They don't have the same patterns of being in the Word. There's a lot of people who are very frustrated, very fearful, very isolated. So this would be a pretty great thing to offer your church. So email COVID19@dwellapp.io. They will get you set up with access for the whole church for 2 months, which is pretty awesome.
That is awesome. As was your promo work, Piper, as always.
Great promo.
Thank you. I was a little uncertain heading into those because I didn't look at the details until we started talking to each other about 5 minutes ago. So,
no, man, off the cuff, it works for you. It's a good look for you.
It really does, man. It's a great look. And I kind of just dropped it on you right there. So, yeah, apologies on that, Pipe. So, are you no longer doing that book podcast with Armstrong?
I'm not. Once I stopped working at Lifeway, it became a bit untenable to try to do this podcast, do that podcast, and be good at my job at the church. So there was it was an amicable parting of ways, simply a business decision. He and Dave Schrader are still doing it. And actually, I think they have brought on Scarlett Hiltabeitel as their third host, and she's excellent and probably brings a much well, she's a lot nicer than I am, so I'm sure it has increased in pleasantness, and she's also funny, so hopefully they haven't lost any of that.
Dude, is that how you pronounce her last name, Beidle? Or I thought it was Hilta Biddle. Is it
Hilta Biddle? Yeah, that's it.
Okay, all right, good. I'm glad I know that.
Yeah,
I don't know who this person is. Who is she?
Author, writer, speaker, mom. I worked with her husband at Lifeway, Brandon. They're a great family. They have three daughters. Their third daughter was adopted from China maybe 3 years ago, something like that. And yeah, just they're great family. And she's like me, she's the child of a famous person. Her mother is famous for an entirely different reason, though. Are you familiar with the name Victoria Jackson from Saturday Night Live?
Vaguely. Yeah.
Her mom. Wow. So
no way,
so
dude.
She gets her mom's ability to be funny with a whole different sense of like level headedness and outward, you know, wise Christianity. So she's got all that going for her. And then her husband Brandon was a great dude to work with. Really liked him as well. He's on staff. I don't know if he's officially on staff, but he's in leadership at a church called the Bridge Church here in Nashville, which is a great church too. So. All in all, pretty awesome family.
Wow, the Delta Beatles.
This is the golden age for author, writer, speaker moms, don't you think? We're going to look back on this. This is apex mountain for that.
When will their children start writing the "I wish my mom hadn't" types of things? Like, are we like 20 years away from? Like, I mean, I wrote the Pastor's
Kid. We're
12
years away from it.
Yeah, yeah, I wrote the, which was sort
closer
of
than we think.
It, sort of the. I mean,
the
I
mom author kid.
Yeah. the influencer's kid.
The influencer's kid, dude. Legit. That's 100%.
Somebody's going to write the influencer's kid or like how my parents ruined my life with a YouTube channel or something like that.
Yeah, like I wish I'd had a normal mom kind of thing. I don't know. Yeah, fascinating, man. That's really interesting. That is going to be cyclical, but nevertheless, great moment to be a author, writer, pastor, mom. For sure. Tip of the cap to all those ladies.
Wait, hold on. Boys, we have author, writer, influencer mom, not pastor mom. We did, you know,
no, not
some,
pastor,
somebody
speaker,
got super
speaker.
Triggered, super triggered by your use of word.
Yeah. We got to get our non-editing post-production company to edit that out, which they won't do.
If Owen Strachan listened, he would be very offended right now. So,
Piper.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, I forgot our rules. Easy. Sorry, guys.
Dude, what is even the name of our post-production company? I've forgotten. What are those guys called?
Resonate.
Resonate?
Yeah, Resonate. Edit out that Strachan comment, too. Doggone it. Yeah, more we could say there vis-a-vis just some music that dropped last week. But nevertheless, boys, we've got business to do here on the podcast. We got to talk about best practices. And I want to run a couple of like people groups by you and see if any of these resonate. Okay. Like person type number one, the guy who whenever you talk to him insists that he's loving this. Quote, nothing has really changed for me, guy. He's getting so much done. Do you guys encounter this personality type as you move through COVID-19?
Yes. Occasionally.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
and
totally.
I think there's two different camps that this falls under. One is like the underemployed guy who's sort of he just sort of makes ends meet by doing the occasional odd, you know, video editing thing or whatever. And so he basically doesn't have a life anyway. And then the other is just a liar. They're just lying about this where they're so manically positive about this that they're like, yeah, I feel as good as I ever did. And, you know, kind of made some adjustments to this, but life's going on and everything's great. And,
stuff's going great for my family, dude.
Kids are totally loving it. Made the transition from, you know, from their Montessori school to being home, and everything's great. Wife and I are getting along great. You know, some conflicts here and there, but overall, things are good.
I totally don't want to kill anybody who lives in my house. You know, going great. What'd you say, Ronald?
It's all the Enneagram sevens out there, essentially, man.
Dude, really? You think this is a good moment for sevens?
Oh, 100%, because they just they tend to, they're pain avoidant, and so they do everything they can to just kind of keep the party going and keep all the good times alive.
This is a good moment for Enneagram 7s to lie, is what it is. Because they hate this. This is their nightmare, but because they're pain avoiders, they can't admit that, so they have to put the spin on everything.
Well, yeah, I mean, but that's just them in life anyway, you know, for an Enneagram 7 for sure. But yeah, and they're like, so there's going to be this thing like what came up when you said that, Big T, was like, there's like a glibbiness with some people where I don't
think it's glib.
Yeah, I just don't think this is a moment where you should be so glib. I mean, it's okay if you've like, you know, found some new rhythms and you're figuring some of this out. Like, that's good. And you should be pushing and moving towards that to the best of your ability. But I mean, like, we have to acknowledge that this is like a really bad time for some people. And so I don't know. I mean, there has to be like that balance where you're like, man, it's, you know, I'm figuring this out. If my whole life hasn't been turned upside down, okay. But like some people's lives have. But yeah, but there is that sort of that vibe. There's that vibiness with some people that are just like, I'm pumped. It's like a sabbatical. I don't know what to do with all my time. I've finished like 19 like extra projects that I had on the books. You know, I don't know. You know, whatever. We're going to have a baby in 9 months. Like, I don't know. Like, it's just like all of this stuff, right? So
Yeah. Pipe, here's another personality type. And this is more for like parents, but In every sort of parent and kid grouping or friend group, you know, most of the kids are normal. They're kind of like doing their online school, having trouble filling the rest of the hours. There's always one kid who like taught himself to play the violin, is learning a new language, who's kind of ruining it for all the other kids. You know what I mean? Such that like my wife is super mad that our kid isn't that kid. You know what I mean? But if that kid didn't exist, it wouldn't be an issue. Have you run into that?
The curve breaker family.
The curve breaker. Yes. Yeah, that's right.
And
that's right.
Those families, 100% of them are very loud on social media. They're so proud of their honor homeschool student for his work in Latin grammar. Yeah, I would like to hit him over the head with his Suzuki violin books and make his parents be quiet.
Pipe, I love that you knew those were Suzuki violin books. That is massively impressive to me right now. That's
okay,
amazing.
Full disclosure, do you want to know why I know that?
I do.
Because you took violin lessons?
No, I didn't. I was the one kid in my family who never took an instrument because my parents gave up. I was the fourth kid.
And
my
it was over?
My three older brothers put them through such hell that they gave up and did not make me take it. They put me in choir, but I didn't have to learn an instrument. No, it's because I saw on Facebook earlier today that my alma mater, Wheaton College, who normally hosts like the Suzuki Violin Festival, they had to cancel it, or they're doing it online or something. So it was fresh in my mind.
Subtext: recruiting pretentious kids and their rich parents' festival.
That's right. 100%. They are recruiting the kids who I would like to beat over the head with the violin books, for sure.
Dude, that's who goes to Wheaton, though, for sure. Ron, can I go a couple of minutes on this Suzuki music thing with you, though?
Yeah.
I'm curious, like, so Suzuki also makes motorcycles. Is this the same company?
I mean, dude, that's a great question. I don't know. How many Suzukis are out there? Yeah, I don't know. If you say Kawasaki, I'm going straight to motorcycles. So I'm imagining it's the same. I don't know.
I love the idea of a company. Yeah, a company that's that diverse. You know what I mean?
Well, it's like Honda is that diverse, right? I mean, they like have like a million different products, and it's the same Honda, just different divisions of it. So yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know if you can like get a deal on piano lessons and like the new Suzuki, like arm 125, like motocross bike.
Exactly.
I think Suzuki might be like the Japanese equivalent of the last name, like Wilson, you know? So they could all be related, but
because you're hitting totally different demographics with those kids though. Like the kid who's playing the Suzuki, like violin book, isn't also like, you know, bombing around on the dirt paths on their motorcycle. You know what I mean?
Tip the cap to Suzuki
for that, man.
Yeah,
that's just
Suzuki, good business. Suzuki is that, if they go from like motorcycles to really bad cars to like piano lessons, like,
right? Dude, that, if you want a car that'll last 35,000 miles,
Baby, remember from the 90s, like the Suzuki Samurais? Remember those little Jeeps?
Yeah.
Those were such crap, but they looked awesome.
Yeah, they were horrible, but like, but they didn't they cost like $200, two brand new or something? But
dude, they cost like $200, and they would roll over if you took a corner at like faster than, you know, 14 miles an hour. They would just literally roll over.
Roll over and then just completely dismantle, fall apart.
Completely fall apart. That's right. You know what? Suzuki's kind of like, go ahead.
Now, do they make automobiles anymore? Do you know?
Think they do on account of their automobiles being so bad. So apologies to Suzuki Brass if you're listening, but not a great automobile company, but they're killing the like violin book market right now.
Yeah,
so
guys, we can kiss that Suzuki sponsorship goodbye.
We
now.
Really can, man. I put the nail in that coffin, but I was going to say Suzuki really reminds me of us in the sense that not only do we do great radio, we're also in the coffee business. So if you go to redbudcoffee.com, you can get some Happy Rant blended hipster coffee, even in the midst of this quarantine. They're still roasting. They're still shipping. They're doing it with the utmost of safety. And that's a little promo for Redbud Coffee. Do we have a discount for our listeners, Piper?
Yep. Use the code Happy Rant at checkout and you get a 10% discount. It's pretty, it's just constant. You can do that every order. It's not like a one-time use thing. That's just, they're just set up for that. So use the code HAPPYRANT, get your 10% off. It's really good coffee. I'm drinking their Colombian roast as we record this and enjoying it thoroughly.
Big so T, that was a heck of a transition into that.
Oh, baby. Thank you.
I mean,
you
I feel so like you're really influenced by Pipe on that one. That was expert level promo work.
Right? Well, baby, you know, I'm trying to better myself during this quarantine.
I know you are. And that's
so I might have been listening to some old show tapes, you know, listening to Pipe do his work.
The tape grinder.
I'm the tape grinder. I'm grinding through some tape.
Just got your reel to reel up there, man. Just letting the tape just.
I got a little reel to reel. You know, I got a little room here that I don't let my family into, and I'm like, guys, go away. I'm listening to Piper do promos. I've actually got a tape guy who just cuts together all the promos for me, so I can skip through the show content,
and then he digitizes them for you, so that you can just put them on your Spotify playlist and just over and over again listen to all Pipe's promos.
Dude, I've got a Spotify that's just Pipe's promo work. So if anybody wants that, I can share it. But
Big T,
you know,
I'm not kidding, man. If I ever had somebody say we'd like to hire you for some promo work, I'm not joking right now. It's going to sound like I am. I would literally just go back and compile all of Pipe's promos and just say, let me learn from the master.
It's tape study. You know,
it is tape study. It is tape study.
You're putting the work in at that point. Yeah.
At the risk of puffing up my own ego larger than it already is, Ted, could you do a comparison of like if you were going to study my promo work, like what would that be like in terms of studying, like what fullback would I be compared to or what left guard? Like if you're just going to watch tape of one person of your favorite positions.
We're getting into sports. Ronald's getting mad. No,
well, hold on. I got a question like for Ron when this is done. So
good.
We'll come your way.
Equal time then.
Yeah.
Baby, you are you're like the Mike Allstott of fullbacks when it comes to promo work in the sense that, you can do it all, right? You can do a little feature back work. You can catch the ball. You can block. You're an all-purpose promo guy, in the sense that regardless of the product, we're always getting great work out of you. So I'm gonna go with Mike Allstott.
I feel highly honored. All right, Ronnie, here's a question for you. If you were going to study the techniques of somebody who has built themselves into the master conference speaker.
Ooh.
Who would you compare?
Yeah, we're speaking
to
Ron's language now. Wait, do I have to sound all PO'd and miffed that we're talking about conference speakers? Like,
if it would help, just imagine attending a conference, and I'm sure it'll put you in a bad mood. So that'd be perfect.
We're speaking Ron's language though. No, like who's the ultimate conference speaker comp to Pipe as a promo guy? This is
good. Like that really the guy who's at every conference, he's just, you can always
that's you on it.
No, we'll talk like an A-lister that's always just solid. Okay. You always want to listen to him. I feel like I'm just describing his dad right now, but like that probably wouldn't be good. So besides Johnny P, yeah, man, that's a great question. I mean, I would say that you're just I'm gonna insult you somehow right now, Pipe, but I don't know. I mean, you're kind of just, you know, you're kind of the Frankie Chan of,
this is not an insult. I feel
it's not an insult at all.
No,
dude, if we could all make Frankie Chan money, we'd be in a much better place.
Like, click on just type Frankie Chan in on YouTube and just close your eyes and click on something and then click on something. Like, you're going to get the same Chan every time. I mean, it's consistent. If anything,
maybe I want some of those Frank Chan dollars. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well,
I want Frankie money.
I mean, that goes without saying, Big T. I mean, that's like saying, you know, that's like saying you want rich, you know, you want rich people dollars, right? I mean,
exactly.
You know, exactly. You want Arizona dollars?
I want Arizona dollars. I'm a Sun Devil, man. I love it. Now, I want to run another question by you guys. Yeah, I had to check my show notes for a minute. That's bad radio. Wow. Piper, who has been the most obnoxious, like, business influencer type guys? Because these like leadership dudes, I'm sure they're all like the COVID-19 story broke, like 20 minutes later, they're trying to figure out how to leverage it for their own brand, right? So, and these are the most delusional guys, right? These are the guys who think, yeah, the economy is going to crumble, but people aren't going to be able to live without my third tier leadership book. So who's been the most like constant or obnoxious like voice from that people group through this?
Man, it's a category of people, because the top leadership guys in this, you know, the John Maxwell's or Patrick Lencioni's or whatever, like they're kind of metronome like. They just kind of stick to their brand and they probably don't even run their own social media accounts. It's the obnoxious entrepreneur. So I texted you guys about a week ago a tweet that I saw that about sent me over the edge. I was also in a very emotionally raw and sick of my children spot at that point. So it says this. If you don't come out of this quarantine with 1, a new skill, 2, your side hustle started, and 3, more knowledge, you never lacked time, you lacked discipline. That was by a gentleman.
Convicting.
Well, gentleman might be a bit aggressive, but Anwar Douglas was his name. That is the epitome of the entrepreneurial BS that is being flung during this time. These are the most obnoxious things that are happening on the interwebs right now. Making people feel guilty for having a hard time navigating a thing that nobody knows how to navigate.
The economy is definitely going to be able to support everybody's stupid side hustles after this is over. And we definitely want to hear all about them. Ronald, who else is like leadership wise? Who are you hearing a lot from during this?
Oh man, there's one guy that I'm not going to say his name because he's kind of part of our tribe a little bit. I don't know. I mean, I don't want to. I don't know, man. I'm all stuck right now.
Do we have leadership guys in our tribe? I thought those things were kind of mutually exclusive.
It goes back to what Pipe said a little bit. It's more of like, it's not guys just trying to it's not dudes just trying to say something encouraging, but it's more of like the what we should be doing kind of tweets and like posts, you know. It's more, you know, it's like the get her done kind of posts, right?
Yeah,
it's like, dude, like you should be doing this. Use this time for this, use this time for that. Again, yeah, like it's people making a lot of assumptions about what we have with our time, what we should be doing with our time. And it's kind of, again, it comes off like super glibby, which, I don't know. One person's glib might be another person's encouragement. I don't know. But I mean, dude, I don't know. But it's like those like anything, you know, I'll just be honest with you guys, man. COVID or no COVID. And I think we were talking – weren't we talking about this the other day on Mag 7, which was like just those high leadership – those kind of high leadership posts, they – I don't know, man. They're always just a little – they're a little weird for me anyway, right? I mean, I don't know. Maybe because I just – I shy away from the leadership-ish kind of stuff a little bit. So that's just not me. I don't know. I'm not like drawn to that because it feels gimmicky and, you know, it feels like, oh, I got to buy another like quarterly journal to start like – you know, doing my daily, you know, how to how to put my days together, you know, by the minute and the hour.
Dude, how to crush your day, man. Just crush
your day. Like, I want to be a day crusher, Big T. That's what I want.
Baby, you are a day crusher. I feel like you're already a day crusher.
You know what's been nice, though, is one of the phrases that has gone away during this that these guys love to use, killing it. Because we're not allowed to use that one currently. Yeah, that one exactly. that one needs to be shelved until you know, yeah, things are a little safer. So it's, you know, on the plus side, I guess that one's gone away for a minute. But yeah,
they really say killing it, Piper. These guys.
Oh yeah, dude's totally killing it for sure.
Yeah. Guys, I want our first pod after COVID. I want to call it killing it. So let's. So write that down.
Wait, how long after COVID? Like, I feel like this is one of those hashtag
like
too soon
like
things.
The minute it's announced that we're like in the clear, man, I want to record an ep immediately called Killing It.
Folks, this is Killing It by the Happy Ramp Podcast, brought to you by Suzuki. Fine purveyor of dirt bikes and violin instruction manuals. Piper, what were you going to say? You had something serious you were going to lay on.
The thing with the leadership guys who Ron's talking about, these entrepreneurial guys that I'm talking about, it's amazing to me that within 72 hours of realizing that this is a pandemic and life is going to be fundamentally changed for an unspecified amount of time, they all had figured out exactly what's supposed to happen next.
Totally.
Our government hasn't figured it out. No governments have figured it out. Scientists haven't figured it out. Economists haven't figured it out. Bankers, nobody's figured it out. But these guys figured out how to live their best life now. And I think it's because they don't think about anybody else.
Yeah.
When you are only thinking about yourself, it is very much easier to figure out what is supposed to happen next, because the effect on other people and how you come across just don't matter. So Ron used the word glib or glibbiness, which is a great version of that word. I think it's just a massive lack of self-awareness.
Yeah, that's a better way to put it.
Glib is the nice way to put it. They come off as so unself-aware that like they put this stuff out and it just lands with a thud, total lead balloon.
Mm. Yeah, when you don't have to actually lead anybody, it's probably pretty easy to think of yourself as a great leader of men. Leadership is always more fun to dream about than actually do, I think. You know what I mean? Actually being a leader is probably a lot
it's
harder
because
than like
leadership is not a
dreaming
thing.
About it.
Leadership is you either are doing the work of like being in relationship with people and having influence over people and helping people solve problems and a lot of really sticky, complicated situations, thinking strategically for people. Or you're talking about leadership, which is a very tidy concept until you put it into practice.
Yeah, it's more something you embody for sure. You know,
do pastors in our tribe even read like leadership books? Is that even a thing?
Oh, dude. I mean, pastors in our tribe.
Dude, tell me. I don't know.
Well, I don't know. Like, I'm thinking. I'm thinking of Pipe. You probably have a better handle on that, being at Lifeway as long as. I mean, I'm thinking of Al Mohler's leadership book, right? From I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago.
Interesting. Because I feel like back when I was around and I cared about this crap, like 10 years ago, nobody was like everybody in our tribe would have been sniffy and dismissive about a leadership book.
Well, I don't know if they're hot right now, Pipe. Like there's not a ton of those books coming out right now.
No,
right?
This
might be cold.
The hotness right now is like the social science book. So where it's like Malcolm Gladwell sort of kicked this stuff off, but you've seen
Saint Gladwell.
Yeah, but then like who is it? Is it Duhigg? Charles Duhigg, who did The Power of Habit. You have the book that came out a few years ago called Quiet about introverts. So it's all these books about understanding, you know, changing minds and habits and people's personalities, like the Enneagram kind of fits into this.
Yeah, it's more understanding who you are rather than what to do.
So
yeah,
I feel like that's the shift now. Away from like 7 practices of the best leadership, you know, because like Patrick Lencioni was the leadership hotness, and actually some of his stuff was really foundationally good probably 7 to 12 years ago. And now it's a lot more the kind of understanding the human psyche and how did we get this way and that kind of stuff. But But you're not wrong, Ted, in that there is an entire camp of people who turn up their nose at all that stuff. Like, if it's not Charles Hodge, what are we even doing here? And so their version of a leadership book is reading, you know, Puritans on Ministry. And then then there's a camp of people who are gravitating towards all, you know, kind of this other, all the new ideas, the new old ideas on leadership or influence or whatever.
Dude, here's a question. Who's going to be the Christian Gladwell? You know what I mean? Who's like trying to occupy that space? No, yeah, baby. That... Like, respectfully, I don't think you're that guy, man. Dude, you're going to be the dude. No, you're going to
be the Christian. That guy. I'm the literally why I said it.
Nobody can be the Christian Gladwell guy unless they're like on the progressive side, because Gladwell has made millions of dollars and sold millions of copies of books without ever drawing a conclusion.
Yeah, that's true.
And so you can't draw conclusions. In the Christian world, at least on like the conservative side of things, you have to draw a conclusion. Like, you have to land somewhere and be like, therefore we believe this.
It's felt need-based, yes. And you got to have that need sort of fulfilled by the end of the book. So, yeah, for sure.
Dude, Gladwell is a cash cow, man. That guy's done so well. It's just fascinating. You know, it's fascinating that there was a market for that.
He's a brilliant storyteller. Like, his books have gotten progressively less interesting because you kind of know the MO. But,
the shtick, yeah.
But he's a really good, like, when he writes for, what is it, the Atlantic or whatever it is, so his sort of longer form storytelling journalism pieces, which is where he got his start. Yeah. He's a phenomenal storyteller type of journalist, long form journalist.
Dude, speaking of journalists, man, I just read this piece, Pipe, on The Ringer about Liberty University and Falwell and like the whole football program thing. Oh. You should check that out. Yeah, no, it's fascinating. Like, it's really just the confluence of like God stuff and money and big time college sports and Hugh Freeze and just that whole thing. It's pretty fascinating. But boys, we are drawing this thing to a close, and that now we're just three guys on a phone call, it seems like.
Can I ask a closing question?
Yeah, of course.
So we have, you know, we've kind of gone through these various types of people who are brilliantly handling this quarantine. If you could describe yourself as a type, gentlemen, how would you describe yourself? So not just, this is not a how are you doing question. This is a how would you describe how you are doing question.
So my our quarantine types.
Yes. What is your quarantine type?
That's good, Pipe. I think this is going to sound obnoxious. Kind of just a less angry version of my normal type. Like,
really? You're less angry? I don't mean that pointed at you. I'm just surprised that this didn't bring out more anger.
I'm less busy. You know what I mean? So, okay. So I am an introvert, but I live in a world of extroverts in the sense that I teach in a comm arts department at a university. So like all my colleagues are extroverts. A lot of my students are extroverted. So like in real life, people are just constantly like pumping words into me. You know what I mean? Like I'm a bucket and everyone's just dumping their words into me. So that's taken a big downturn since this. So I think I'm just like a little more chilled out, like a little bit less on edge because I've got fewer people just like dumping words on me all the time, if that makes sense. Yeah. Ronald?
Yeah. So I'm like, you know, I would be more of the, I tend to get really reflective. I'm like waxing lyrical all the time. Like I've got poetry going on through my head all day. My wife is hearing me say like, you know, all of these existential things driving her up the wall. And so, yeah, I tend to go into that mode, which is really just kind of useless for most people, mm-hmm. including my wife, mainly my wife.
Yeah.
And but I don't know. I tend to get like when I have a little bit of space, I tend to go there. That's where my Enneagram 4 takes me. And I'm, you know, I tend to go creative and ridiculous. Creative and ridiculous is how, that's probably what my, memoir is going to be called someday, Ted.
Can I ghostwrite it, baby? Or you got Jared?
I mean, is that even a question? I mean, that's not even a question. I mean, obviously, I'm going to have Piper write the foreword and do all the promo, and I'm going to have you ghostwrite it. You know,
I mean, I've got a number that we need to meet, like dollar wise, but we can talk about that off camera.
We share the same agent, so we're good. We're going to figure it out.
If the numbers are right, man, I'm in.
The numbers are right,
Ted. Speaking as a marketing guy, if you're smart with a book that's bound to be that successful, you want residuals, not upfront money. So,
oh, absolutely. Yeah. I went back and all day long on that, Piper. I mean, that thing's going to.
We're going to be doing promo, not marketing. So,
I went into agent mode there for a second. My bad. Sorry, guys.
Yeah.
I'm confused.
Yeah, rescind that. We're sorry, Andrew Olgemuth.
Do you think we could start a literary agency, the three of us?
100%.
No, because none of us want to do the work.
That's true. I hate that kind of work.
The reason all of us have an agent, I think we all have the same agent, is because we hate that part of that part of the work.
That's true. I would have
an agent for my agent. I could do that just to keep adding the layers to more of it, you know? Oh, by the way, we were talking earlier, I think on Mag 7 about, you know, just sort of how you, Ted, how you resolved your thing with Jared C because he finally emailed you back. But yeah. I promised Jared C's brother, Jeremy C, that I was going to give him a shout out because he told me the other day on the phone, he said, Ronnie, he said, baby, he goes, tell T he can write me anytime and I'll get back to him ASAP.
Wow.
Jeremy C, he's going to get, there's not even going to be a hesitation.
Jeremy C is a real guy then. I thought he was made up. I thought that was
No, Jeremy C is legit. He is the brother of Jared C. And he said,
tell me about Jeremy C. What kind of guy is he? Where does he live? What does he do? Tell me everything, baby. Okay.
He lives in Houston. He's planting a church. And he just wanted me to inform you that his email skills were just like on point.
Oh, okay. All right. Dude, let me think about it and kind of pray about it.
Yeah, pray about that.
My favorite thing about that is the brotherly rival subtext of, well, I'm clearly better than my brother at this, which I have a strong emotional resonance with. So, yes.
Jared's response to that would be, I'm too busy to email because of my 14 book deals that I have right now. So, like, they both have their ways to win. Maybe I'll do that, baby.
I'm going to forward you his email address, man, and at your own goodwill and pleasure. You can.
Baby, is there anybody you don't know in the C family? Like, what are the parents like? What are Jared's mom and dad like?
Yeah,
you've done holidays with them.
Yeah, so Jack and Janie are they're great people. I'm kidding.
Jack,
I don't know them. I have no idea.
Such good people. It's just salt of the earth.
It's all J's. Jack,
Ron,
Janie.
Listen, they give you the shirt off their back. You know, those kind of people.
Oh, all the times I've spent in Texas with those guys, man. A lot of Texas barbecue with the Wilsons going by. And just what we do is we pull up to where the old Astro World used to be and just look at it fondly, the ruins.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Sometimes they'll even take me to the Astrodome and we'll like run around on the AstroTurf and we'll dream about what it was like watching the Houston Astros back in the day.
Dude, I bet Jack Wilson is a rich rancher in Texas.
Oh, he's huge. He's one of the big. He's one of the big guys.
One of the big guys. One of the big ranchers.
Really, I would have pegged him as like a small town newspaper man.
No, he's one of the big cattle guys. In fact, he's partnered with Maddie Chan.
He's one of the big cattle guys.
Stuff. Yeah,
and he's all like, "Yeah, I'm proud of my son and his little books and all that." You know, I kind of wished he had become a titan of industry like me, but you know, it's nice he's got his writing.
Like I kind of wish he would have started a beef company like my other adopted son, Matt Chandler, but, you know, that just hasn't.
Or planted a church like my other adopted son, Ronnie Martin, you know, but in lieu of all that, he's doing fine. Yeah, he's doing okay.
The Wilson steaks are fantastic.
Shout out to Jack and Jane, man. Just good people. So,
we
got to bring Wilson Steaks on as a sponsor for a future app.
Oh, 100. I'm working on it, boys. It's going to be big.
All kidding aside, how has like Maddie Chan's steak company not been a sponsor so far? I feel like that's perfect.
Pipe, can you work on that, man? You know him, don't you?
Yeah, but.
You introduced me to him at T4 or got one of the conferences last year.
Yes. I mean, but it's not like I have a cell phone number to text him or something. I wonder if we could work that out. I'll take a look and see what we can figure out.
Dude, 100. Ron, you got to get that.
Are you telling me, Ronald, that you got a little one-on-one, like face-to-face time with Maddie Chan?
Yeah, I mean, just for like a minute.
Wow. Baby, how was that?
I mean, he was a tall guy in a polo shirt. I mean, it was great. Yeah. You know, wow. It was great.
No, that's exciting.
I'm a Chan fan, man. I'm a big fan. So
yeah, making moves, man. Making moves.
You know,
Channy Steaks, next sponsor.
What's the name? What was the name of his? What's the name of his company again?
I mean, isn't it Texas Craft Steaks?
Oh man, what a great name!
Is that the name of it?
Great name, dude.
Is that the same letters as the Village Church? TVC T. Did he line that up? I can't count or spell, so I don't. You know.
Baby, he sold the steak company to Suzuki. So Suzuki handles that. It's Suzuki Foods. It's a subsidiary. But boys, one day we will be able to sell this show to Suzuki, I hope. And just
I would love to get Suzuki Foods on board.
Yeah, we need to reap the benefits financially. It's time. It's time for
send us some of those $200 Jeeps that they manufacture.
Yeah, dude, I would take one of those like late 80s vintage Suzuki Samurais right now.
Take your life in your hands.
Yeah, I would not be comfortable cornering in it. I would just drive it in a straight line. So,
I would only drive mine in Texas when I'm going to pick up my my head of cattle. Is that how you would phrase that?
Head of cattle. I think so. That sounds good to me. That sounds about right. Yeah, nice straight flat roads in Texas. Boys, we have done what we always do on this program, which is
hang on 1 second. 1 second, yeah. Big T.
Yeah, because there's no way I want to end this right now.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. Are you busy?
Yeah, exactly. Were you starting up another like phony football league on your block, T? Dude, I mean, what's going on with
that? Yeah, I'm starting it. I'm working on my side hustle because I'm going to be side hustle guy in an insufferable way.
When you get our deal with Texas Chan Steaks, dude, why don't you get us a live gig at TVC, man. Why have we not played in the great state of TX? I want you to work on that, man. Come on.
Help us. All right. Well, we can discuss details. I have feelings about Texas. For those who would like to know what my feelings about Texas are, just read John Steinbeck's description of Texas in Travels with Charlie. It will make you laugh. It will make Texans cry, and it sums up my feelings in general. So, yeah, we can talk about that though.
All right,
dude. I'm working on my book called Travels with Ronnie, and I'm not going to rest.
You're on volume 4 right now.
Exactly. There's a lot of travels.
I'm not going to rest. Start it in Fort Wayne and end in Toledo, baby.
Baby, no. We're going to start in Fort Wayne. We're going to stop over in Toledo. We're going to end in Astro World in the Astrodome where we're going to do a live show next year. Can you imagine a live show in the Astrodome?
I absolutely can. Yes. Yes.
Me too. Yeah, because I'm doing it right now. So, I'm not going to rest until that happens. So who owns like the Astrodome now?
It just sits there empty.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, the last time they used it was for when they, something happened, right?
And they didn't implode it?
No, it's a national, it's a considered like a national monument or one. Like they can't, they're not allowed to like implode it. And then like across the street from the Astrodome used to be Astro World. They wiped that out. But dude, like we should be able to rent out the Astrodome for live at the Astrodome. Like that.
Yeah, I wonder what the numbers look like on that. We need to look into it.
I think it's only like $150,000 to rent it out.
Yeah, well, and I bet what I was thinking was we can trade out some sponsorships, like, and they'd probably let us have it pro bono.
Oh, dude, we'll get gospel between Gospel Project and Texas Chan Steaks.
Steaks.
I think we got it. I don't even think it's an issue.
Red Bud Coffee. Yeah, we'll be set. We'll be set. So,
all right,
man, I can't wait to play the Astrodome, dude. That's going to be unbelievable.
We got to time it right. They have a $105 million renovation plan in place for the Astrodome right now. So we should wait until after that so that we get the shiny new one. Unless, of course, we want the price break.
The vintage one. Well, I'll tell you what I want, Pipe, is the vintage one. And I want me and you to keep talking because Big T keeps trying to end this pod. We will not allow that to happen.
I know. I like how he said he was less angry, and I can actually hear him backpedaling on that right now. He's like, no, I'm more angry.
I used to be less angry. Yeah, I take that back now. No, this has been great, boys.
It's your neighborhood league, Big T.
This has been great. gosh, it's been a lot of fun. We've done what we always do in the sense that we've done probably 17 minutes of actual content, and then we went for like 25 more minutes. So,
well, let's just not end it then and try to get some content in.
Yeah, what do you want to talk about, baby?
I don't know. Normally, we're always trying to end these things. Why don't we reverse it right now and try not to end it?
Okay. Just do like a Senate filibuster episode where we just go for hours.
Please end it. Be like the Lord of the Rings movies where you're like, oh, it's done. Nope. Still got another ending. Oh, there's another
two
one.
More hours.
Yep. Keep going.
Dude, I hate those movies so much.
do you
guys hate Lord of the Rings?
No, I dug them. Why did
really?
You hate them? Yeah.
Dude, it was a bunch of weird people walking around in the dark for like 3.5 hours. I was bored to death.
Dude, they're like mythical. Yeah, they're like hobbits and stuff.
Dude, I got no use for hobbits and mythical people.
Mythical creatures.
No, I don't. I'm an earth guy. I'm a real people person.
You're an earth guy. I mean? I'm a middle earth guy.
You're a middle earth guy. You would fit in so well at my kid's school. Baby, if we got you an Augustan school polo and a little pair of khakis, you would love it there.
That's the low-key meanest thing you've said on this podcast in a long time.
Is it really called Augustan school, Big T?
Yeah, sure.
I beg you to tell me that that's not true.
Baby, I wish I could, but I can't tell you that it's not true because it is true.
What is the what is the response if you call it the Augustine school?
Sneering and smugness.
Immediate termination.
Well, isn't that not the response to like most things that you say though? I feel like there should be a uniquely smug response to Augustine.
Yeah, there's gradations of smugness.
Okay.
It's so funny that it's called Augustine school. I mean, like it's the least surprising thing I think I've heard in 3 weeks, but like for some reason it still surprises me.
it's a lot of fun, baby. You should, you know what, dude, all kidding aside, the type of speaking that Ronald does, the type of like C and D list venues that he plays, it makes him a prime candidate for like an Augustan school fundraiser. Like that's the level of speaker we're bringing in. Baby,
really
we can get you
to...
a, you know, I really know how to make a guy feel good. You know,
doggone it.
Feeling really uplifted, right?
I want to see Ronnie show up to that in his like Dead Poet Society school uniform look because I feel like that would fit right in.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, guys, when this whole thing is over, you can book me for that in like summer, like September 2021,
Piper, I will. I'm going to get right on that. Piper, which Dead Poet Society character would Ron be? When you think of Ron's persona, which kid from that movie?
I only remember like Robin Williams and the dude who killed himself. And he's neither of those. Although he would be closest to Robin Williams, but I don't know which student he would be. That the movie didn't leave a great impression on me.
Dude, really closer to Robin Williams?
I don't think so. No, I think he's the Ethan Hawke character, the kid that like he gets that really nice like leather desk blotter, and he's mad because his parents got him that the previous year, and he like throws it in the river. That's my one enduring memory.
Oh, is he like the kid whose parents like don't love him? They just give him a lot of stuff.
They just give him a lot of sweet
stuff.
The kid
we all wish we actually were.
Dude, right. my parents expressed their lack of love by buying me.
I wish my parents loved me that poorly. That sounds miserable.
I wish you loved me much less and just gave me a lot more cash.
Exactly.
In the end. Exactly. In the end, the cash would have helped more than the love. Sorry, Dad.
Zach. Baby, we're going to get the cash, though, from our Astroworld show.
I think that's true. In fact, I mean, all joking aside, I think Pipe is already probably working overtime on that steak deal from Chan.
Well, he's being productive. It's his side hustle, if you will.
That's what
so,
I'm saying.
You know, he's listened to all this good leadership input.
I've taken extra 50% commission from that, too. We want to get that so bad.
That's right, dude. All right. So bad.
Noted. I think I might ask them to pay me in prime beef, though. So
that would be
okay,
nice.
Okay, that's your prerogative.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We could do like a remote.
Let's.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you're ready now. You're ready for me to end it. Okay.
Yeah, I feel like sharks are being jumped and.
Oh, yeah. Now, you know, because they weren't 5 minutes ago. 5 minutes ago.
Let's keep going.
Solid content.
What's the longest pod we've ever done, fellas? What is it?
Dude, we've gone over an hour before.
We have.
But that was for good shows. Yeah.
We're only 10 minutes away from that. I mean, we're going really long right now.
Dude, well, do you have another topic?
I'm about to revert to Ted 5 years ago and start answering mail and eating granola bars. So yeah. Also, I need a granola bar because I'm getting faint because we've been doing this for 11 and a half years. Come on, y'all.
Yeah, it is lunchtime, isn't it, boys? Maybe we should all just go grab lunch, take a pause, and then let's just start eating while we finish the pod.
Baby, I'm on a new diet. I'm like you now. I'm doing intermittent fasting, so I'm looking at another 3 hours before I start to eat.
So wait a minute. You haven't even eaten yet today, Big T?
Baby, not a bite. And
that's
I feel
why
like
you're in, that's why you're in such a hangry mood right
dude,
now.
Dude, I feel like a bag of – yeah, I feel bad.
Kind of trouble.
How long have you been doing it?
What's that?
How long have you been doing this?
I've only been doing it for like a week. So like you're the feeling like good part of it.
Texas Day.
Yeah, I started yesterday. No, I've been doing it for like a week. So allegedly you're supposed to start feeling really good when you do it, but that hasn't kicked in for me.
Dude, everybody that I know that does it, we have a few guys in the church that do it and they've been doing it for like a long time and they are literally I'm not just trying to say this, man. Yeah. They're literally the skinniest dudes in our church.
Which is saying something in a hipster church, right?
Dude, I'm telling you.
Between all the food activism and veganism and
dude,
you know,
they
stuff
look,
that you're dealing with.
If I didn't need food so bad, I mean, I would do it because they look fantastic.
Dude, they look gaunt. They look scrawny. How's your scrawn life going? Are you as scrawny as you'd like to be right now?
I mean, I took up running again 6 weeks ago, which is like least favorite thing I've ever done.
Baby, I didn't know that you ever ran a day in your life. This is
I did,
fascinating.
Back
Tell
day,
me everything.
Back in the day. No, when I used to train for when I raced moto, I was a runner, literally like a
what?
Runner. Yes.
This is insane, dude. So did you get a nice little like pair of running shoes and like you had to get some new gear, right?
I've had a nice pair of running shoes. Mm-hmm. I've had a treadmill from years ago. Things sitting brand new in my base. I'm using the thing now.
Dude, so you're hitting the mill, man. You're hitting the treadmill. I love it.
Dude,
wow.
So horrible. I mean, it's literally everything I'm opposed to and hate. I hate running.
Ted, yeah, so. What brand of running shoes does Ronnie own?
Easy
one.
It's got New Balance.
Yep. That was going to be my guess.
No, I only own two. I'm a brand guy. I only own two brands of shoes. I have lots of shoes, but they fit into these two brands. The first one
Adidas.
Is Converse and then Adidas. Yeah.
Got to be Adidas.
I mean, New Balance was the other one that came to mind because I'm like, they feel retro to me.
And, I like New Balance.
And
I do.
I mean,
but I can't
Adidas. Adidas and Converse also retro. So
I would love to wear New Balance, but I've already given all of my allegiance to Adidas.
No, that's fair.
Boys.
That makes sense.
You know what I really want out of this podcast? I want a shoe deal. Dude, I want a shoe deal so bad.
Is
I want to like
possible for us to get a shoe deal.
Maybe I want to walk to the front door and open it and find a box of free shoes
Can
because
you
of this show.
What that would be.
What do we got to do seriously
Pipe, with
to get
all
a
of
shoe
your
deal?
Free time right now? Are you trying to tell us you can't get us a shoe deal?
Sorry, guys. I'm not listening to the advice that we were given. My side hustle game is subpar. I don't have a shoe deal for us. I don't even have a steak deal for us. Like, I don't.
No,
maybe
but you're
you
gonna
should
get
just kick me off the
deal,
podcast. Though. I mean, in fact, mercifully, kick me off right now, please. For the love of God,
you're gonna get
kick
us that steak
off.
Deal, Pipe. That steak deal is a reality. It's a future. It's like glory. It's a future reality for us, man. We're going to get that deal from Jan.
Steaks and shoes, S&S. That's where we're at. Baby, aren't there like, there's got to be all kinds of little like bespoke, like shoemakers in Nashville where it's like $600 for one pair, you know?
No, Nashville's like where they make shoes out of garbage bags because it saves the earth or something. Like, you know,
yeah,
it's like
take a pair
braided sandals of Kroger bags or something like that.
Pipe, I'll take
Nashville's
a pair of those as long as they're
so
Adidas.
Adidas Kroger bag shoes?
I mean, as long as they're Adidas or Chuck Taylors, I'll take a pair. You know?
I love it. Yeah, I really want a shoe deal, boys. So, listen, shoe companies.
I really want lunch.
Yeah.
I'm a simple man. I just want lunch.
It, like, you don't just go. You're like, I can't go until he shuts down.
Well, I mean, I can hit stop on the recording whenever I want. I'm in control here. I'm trying to be considerate of my co-host, but I'm running fresh out of consideration, gentlemen.
It's amazing that like the extra 8 minutes we've been on just pushes everybody.
Baby, it's been like 20 minutes. Seriously. We've stopped having room.
It was at 34 minutes when Ted said, well, we've done what we always do. And we were now at 54 minutes.
It was not at 34. It was
Piper, like we were so close to ending this
thing. It was real close to 34.
Who do you think out of all of our A-list listeners wishes right now that the program was over? Who would you say wishes that?
All of them. 100%. We have saturated the market with, I wish this thing was done.
I bet you anything. I will bet you a steak from Maddie Chan's Steak Company right now, Pipe, that Jeremy C. Wilson is stoked that we're still
talking. Baby, is there one more thing? This is real content. Does Jeremy C.'s church, which is called like The Journey or The River or whatever, does it have a website where I can see Jeremy C.?
Yeah, I'll send it over to you. I don't know. He's just at the front end of planting,
if I Google Jeremy Wilson church planter, here it is.
Dude, I don't know, man. I didn't have to give that a shot. I
here
don't
it freaking is, man. Leadership. Yeah, the church.
Dude, Jeremy
is called,
C is the money, man. He got like this big, like kind of curly head mop. Like
guy I'm looking at like has a shaved head and a big beard and a huge family. Maybe I'm looking at the wrong guy.
Well, maybe that was before he grew out his hair. I mean, the other things you said were perfect descriptions.
No, I think I'm looking at the same guy, dude.
All right. You got it.
So his bio says, I've been in full-time ministry since 2001, serving in various roles at my home church, Houston Northwest Church, which my family joined when moving to Houston in 1991. Wife Danielle. Is this ringing a bell, baby? Is this the guy?
I think you got it.
Oh, dude, I'm going to email him. I'm doing it.
Email him immediately, ASAP.
Yeah, I'm going to hit the contact us button here. So it's going to go to his church email if he's listening. But just to recap, baby, I want a Suzuki Samurai from this show and a shoe deal. So there it is. Suzuki, if you're listening, shoe companies, if you're listening,
nobody is listening. We are an hour into this show.
Pipe, we've done what we always do on this program, and we've wandered to and fro throughout these topics. Until next time.
The Happy Rant is brought to you by Resonate Recordings. If you go to resonaterecordings.com, you can see the full range of services they offer. So if you're considering starting a podcast, they are the ones we recommend going with. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see their prices, to connect with them and ask any questions, and to see what they can do to help you launch, edit, master, and improve your podcast. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see what they can do to help you launch and improve your podcast.
Hey there, it's Nicole Eunice from the How to Study the Bible podcast, and I'd love to invite you to join us as we weekly discover a passage of God's Word together. From beginning to end, from principles to practicals, we are here to make sure that God's Word is powerful and relevant to your life. If that sounds like something you're looking for, I would love to invite you to subscribe. You can go to lifeaudio.com and search How to Study the Bible, and we'll see you there.